Like I said earlier, tonight's lesson is on honesty in prayer. And as we're taking a look at that, and we take a look at society and all that and how we live today and all that, in the age we live in right now, being honest with others is something that is actually pretty hard to do. We would rather tell somebody, we'd rather tell a, oh, let's see, what do I want to use? Maybe a tamer version of the truth, or maybe a little white lie, as opposed to telling them the truth in the way it is that we think. We'd rather be nicer about it. We'd rather, instead of just being flat out honest and saying what we think or what we feel, we would rather honestly whitewash the truth or just lie about it, period. David Tyer speaks of this element of prayer in his book, The Hidden Life of Prayer. And I'm going to read to you what he says. Honest dealing becomes us when we kneel in his pure presence. In our address to God, we like to speak of him as we think we ought to speak, and there are times when our words far outrun our feelings. But it is best that we should be perfectly frank before him. He will allow us to say anything we will, so long as it is to himself. "I will say unto God, my rock," exclaims the psalmist, "why hast thou forgotten me?" If he would have said, "Lord, thou canst not forget, though you've just maybe forgotten my name," he would have spoken more worthily, but less truly. Think about that. If the psalmist, instead of saying, "You've forgotten me, I feel like you're nowhere around me," because that was the psalmist's true feelings. So what Tozer is saying here is that if he would have said, "Well, God, you know, I just need to put a reminder there that you know, I'm still here and I'm still dealing with this stuff, and there's no way that you know, you would forget the things that I'm going through and all this," that would be whitewashing the truth. That wasn't the psalmist's real feeling. The psalmist felt alone. The psalmist felt like God had totally forsaken him. And so he's speaking the truth to God in this prayer that he's offering up through the Psalms. Another spiritual writer recommends we be very honest with God. Even if we're in the middle of a prayer and all of a sudden we just get this feeling that, "God, I don't know why I'm doing this right now." Be honest. Don't whitewash it. Be honest about your feelings. Why? God already knows your feelings. So why try to hide them from him? Why not be honest with him and be upfront with him about what you're really feeling? He knows it. Like we said last week, he knows our sins. We need to confess our sins. Just the same way that he knows our sin, he also knows our inner thoughts. And so why not be truthful with him instead of trying to create a front? God can work with someone who lashes out in blindness and ignorance, but what he can't work with is insincerity. What he can't work with is someone who would not be true with themselves or with himself. Current thoughts are we need to lie to get ahead. We need to tell everybody what we think they want to hear and create those false fronts. We desire to make a good impression above all else. We're going to build that facade to make someone like us. It seems like the only time anymore that anyone truly expresses themselves is when they really, really get angry and the filter is gone. The filter has been wiped out. Since we are used to acting this way towards each other, it's easy for us to do this with God. If we're used to being able to put on this front in front of other people and make them think that everything's okay and make them think that, that life's going well, maybe that they're our best friend, but they're really not. Maybe that's how we approach. It's not maybe. For a lot of us, that is the way we approach God. We approach God putting on that same front that we do for everyone else. And when we do that, this is an extremely hateful act towards God. There's nothing that we can hide from Him. So why not be totally honest with Him? When we start being totally honest with God, the power of our prayers will increase by the amount of honesty that we have towards God in all things. A Christian known for his great prayer life was asked, how did that happen? What happened that made your prayer life so powerful? And the man told the individual that was asking him, he said that he had made a vow to be totally honest with God about everything. And when that happened, his prayer life turned around and he became very true and honest with his prayers. This is a huge, huge lesson for us in what this man vowed to do from there. We've got to be careful as we go through our Christian lives on earth that we don't find ourselves misrepresenting the truth. Now think about this. When we misrepresent the truth, we're not only trying to misrepresent the truth to others, we're trying to do that to God as well. But if we're not careful, we're doing that to ourselves as well. We're going to live in this fantasy world where everything is all right and not being straight up and honest with God. And a lot of times we build that facade around ourselves, and that's what we start looking at instead of looking. We'll look at the false walls that we've built up instead of the mirror that we need to be looking at. Isaiah 53:9 says, "And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death. Although he had no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth." What does this verse tell us? It tells us that there was no deceit in Christ's mouth. There was no deceit in Christ's life, period. This shows us that the two, God and deceit, false fronts, lies, whitewashed, whatever you want to call it, these two cannot exist. Jesus also commended Nathanael. In John 1:47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." He paid him a huge compliment by saying that to him. Maybe when we take a look at that verse, maybe we should ask ourselves how Jesus would see us in the light of this verse as well. That's the one where you need to curl your toes up at the end of your shoes, because if you're not wearing steel-toed shoes, that one could hurt a little bit. Romans 1:28-29 says, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips." And the verses go on with negative things. What's this saying? According to this scripture, if we don't fill ourselves with God, we're going to be filled with all sorts of evil. That list that I just read are things that will fill us if we don't work to fill ourselves with God and His Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, "For you are children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness." This is who we are as believers. We should be children of light. We should live in the day. We should not look for things that we can hide. We should live where everything is transparent, to where people can see who we are. we should not adopt the deceitful ways which will affect not only our walk with Christ, but it will affect our prayer lives as well, because this will get in the way of a truly effective prayer life. When we are totally honest with God in our prayer life, it's going to be transformed. We don't need to put up those fronts with God. He knows exactly who we are and all we've done. He knows our very thoughts. Why do we think we need to put up a front and try to get by with the stuff that we do? Or even, let's just put up a bad attitude in that as well. If we're going to Christ and going to God in a time of prayer, and we go into that thing and we start off in a bad attitude, guess what? That's fine. Have that bad attitude. Pray yourself through it. Pray yourself through it. But be honest about it. Be honest about what you're really feeling. The following is from a French priest during the 17th century. Tell God all that is in your heart, its pleasures and its pains, to a dear friend. Tell him your troubles, that he may comfort you. Tell him your longings, that he may purify them. Tell him your dislikes, that he may help you conquer them. Tell him your temptations, that he may shield you from them. Show him the wounds of your soul, that he may heal them. Lay bare your indifference to good, your depraved taste for evil, your instability. Tell him how self-love makes you unjust to others, how vanity tempts you to be insincere, how pride hides you from yourself and from others. If you thus pour out all your weaknesses, needs, and troubles, there will be no lack of what to say. You will never exhaust the subject, for it is continually being renewed. People who have no secrets from each other never want for subjects of conversation. They do not weigh their words, for there is nothing to be held back. Neither do they seek for something to say. They talk out of the abundance of their heart. Without consideration, they simply say just what they think. Blessed are those who attain such familiar, unreserved communication with God. There's a lot in that saying right there. And if you didn't catch it all, later on, once this video is posted, I suggest you go back and listen to it. I've reread this thing a couple times while I was getting prepared for this evening and just thinking about what all was in that and what he was saying. There's just a treasure there in that. We will experience blessings from the Holy Spirit when we are honest with God in our prayers. When we are totally honest with God, our prayer lives will be strengthened. Being totally honest, not hiding anything, not holding back, being honest with him in what we've done, in what we think, in our opinions, everything. Be honest with him because he knows. Let's strive for honesty in our prayers in the days ahead so we can know him better. Those are some honest and true words from God right there. So I hope you got something out of that lesson.